Budget pressures on the Defense Department have driven down spending on research and development, and that gives the military less say sometimes in developments that might give battlefield superiority. But industry can help with a class of products known as non-developmental items. Retired Major General Dennis Moran, now with Harris Corporation, joins me now with how this can work. Good morning, Dennis. Great to have you on the show.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
All right, so what exactly does R&D buy for the military in the first place?
Well, first of all, it buys new technology, emerging technology. And it looks at requirements, and then it takes our top scientists, whether they be in government or industry, and finds ideas that are going to solve those problems, provide that capability, and then bring it to fruition in the form of products or systems that soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines can use on the battlefield.
And as Secretary Hagel has pointed out, and quite pointedly, I should say, recently, is, you know, the R&D is not there right now relative to the private sector for defense contractors, or I should say the commercial sector. And so what is the consequence of this long term for the military?
Well, I think the biggest issue is that we're going to lose, we being the Department of Defense, U.S. military, has the potential to lose their technological edge. And there's been a number of senior leaders that have talked about that. So I think the charge here is for the department to obviously prioritize whatever dollars it has itself for the most important technologies it needs for either survivability or lethality. But equally important is to articulate to industry the kinds of capabilities that they want industry to invest in so that industry can use its research and development dollars to bring products to market to allow the Department of Defense to procure those to provide the capability they don't have the enough research and development dollars to invest into.
And a lot of this research and development on the commercial side is going into, of all things, unmanned aerial vehicles, for example, also communications. And getting to the communications piece, now from your perspective at Harris, you have an example of a non-developmental item. First of all, what is an NDI?
Well, NDI is just an acronym that means that a private company, in this case Harris Corporation, sees an opportunity, sees a market, and invests and makes that business case internal to the company, convinces its board of directors to give it a particular business unit money to bring to market a new technology. So it doesn't rely on external investment from the government, does not rely on the government defining a technology requirement, but just simply identifying a market and then bringing that product through its own research and development to that market in a timely manner.
And so this happened for a type of radio that you recently won a contract for.
Absolutely. There was a program within the Army that was tied to the Future Combat System called the Ground Mobile Radio, GMR. At the same time that the FCS system, Future Combat System, was terminated, they terminated this radio, the ground mobile radio, but that still left a gap in communications between tactical headquarters, battalion to brigade. And so what the Army decided to do was to create a non-developmental program, and you're going to hate this acronym, but it was the mid-tier network vehicular radio, and went out to industry and said, we, the Department of the Army, want to buy a tactical radio, but we don't want to invest any research and development dollars. It needs to be of this size. It needs to have this capability to talk these distances. It needs to operate these waveforms. They put that RFP on the street. There were a number of companies across the United States that competed, and Harris Corporation won that competition about 2 years ago. We're currently in test, about ready to go to our limited users test, and in late 2016, we'll begin to field that system within the brigade combat teams of our Army.
My guest is retired Major General Dennis Moran. He's now Vice President of the Government Business Development for RF Communications Division of Harris Corporation. So there's a couple of factors that would spur this in a company. I mean, during the period before World War II, when defense spending was pretty low, there were some company-funded developments in aircraft and so forth that eventually became very important. Now we have a wind down from sequestration or many causes. And you also had that kind of vortex of future combat systems, which blew in a lot of stuff that was never seen again. So what are the factors that can make a company say, this might be a winner if we could also sell this to the government?
Well, first of all, the government has to be a willing partner here. And the most important thing for a company like Harris and others to decide to invest their own money is to make sure that there is a market that they can have access to. And that's probably one of the key messages this morning, is that if the government is going to be successful in bringing new technologies that really are in commodity areas like tactical radios, there's three things that are really required. Number one, the department has to clearly articulate and set its requirements. They have to provide a market, and the way you provide a market is to ask for funds for this particular capability from Congress, and then to do a competition. I think if industry sees that there is a legitimate requirement for a particular capability, that there is money that has been programmed and requested from Congress for that, and there's a competition that's just about ready to begin, then they'll see the opportunity to get a return on investment. They'll make the investment, bring the products forward, and the department will be able to take advantage of that internal research and development coming from industry.
So that's kind of the classic situation, but wasn't that also the same conditions for the future combat systems related subsystems that never did work out?
I'm not an expert in FCS, Tom, but I do believe that there was a significant amount of research and development dollars that came from the Department of the Army. In fact, it was a pretty significant amount. Certainly, there were some non-developmental technologies that were incorporated in the system of future combat system, but it was predominantly a developmental program where the Department of the Army was investing significant dollars. Now, there were other examples, for example, the Stryker program, which is, of course, is a vehicular program, which did have a non-developmental aspect to it, in which industry brought interim solutions in the case of the Stryker vehicle as the FCS system was being worked on. So the government has seen a lot of successes in non-developmental, but the acquisition community within the department certainly has not, in my view, has totally embraced it as the way to bring commodity technologies into the warfighter.
So the difference is, in all cases, you have to have a clear requirement, but in the case of the non-developmental, the technology should be there already in some mature fashion, but maybe so we're talking about adoption or adaption for the government as opposed to development for the government.
I think that's absolutely right. I think your word adaption is spot on, because what we're seeing now is that, especially in the tactical radio market, where the emerging technology is coming from is from the commercial cell phone industry. Even in our own business, we find ideas, we find chips, we find technology that are being used in the cell phone industry, and we bring those into our engineers. We adapt them for the environments that are required for tactical radios, and then those are the kinds of technologies that we offer to the department. So it's, as you've said, it clearly is adaption of commercial technology that is now being offered in these non-developmental items, and it at a very, very good price point to the government. So I think the idea and this is really only works in commodity areas where you offer up these opportunities for competition for these commercial technologies, and if you offer a legitimate market, you're going to see companies bring you offerings at an extremely good price point. And I think that's where there's a real opportunity for the Department of Defense.
And it's probably a good opportunity for companies that might be primarily defense contractors to want to diversify in product areas outside of government that they could again migrate or adapt, as we've described.
No, Tom, you're absolutely right. You know, in the case of tactical radios, it is a global market. There's a significant amount of investment, and in fact, in some cases, there's more investment overseas in tactical radios than is in our own Department of Defense. And so, if you're able to bring a product, you know, based on commercial technology, certainly offer it to the Department of Defense. There's great opportunities to offer it to other allies of the United States, which has the additional benefit of interoperability, and we've seen that time and time again over the last 10 years.
Now, you're an RF guy, but do you see other technology areas that might be ripe for this across industry and communications and other technologies?
I think the one that gets the most discussion is certainly information technology, but there's certainly others. I would argue that medical technology, while there's a significant amount of research and development dollars that are spent in unique areas of medical that are related to the military. Certainly, there's other technologies that are used in commercially within hospitals and field hospitals that's brought into the Department of Defense. Certainly, you could look at the JLTV program. Anything related to vehicles that where there's commercial adaptation. Or adaptation of commercial technology, and certainly you look at the tanker program, and that certainly was an adaptation of commercial technology for a unique military mission. So there's a variety of them. Certainly, the information technology area, I would argue, is probably the one that's most ripe, and in some cases, you could call it the low-hanging fruit.
All right. Retired Major General Dennis Moran is Vice President of Government Business Development for RF Communication Division at Harris. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much.